Well, what's on your heart today, Monsignor?
Today, I'm so impressed. Father de Grandis, who wrote the introduction to the little booklet I've been using for these subjects these past few days, that he was a great confessor and someone who saw the power of true confession, the power of honesty in recognizing where I am in relationship to God. Many, many people are stuck. They have not made any advancement. And for years and years, they feel stuck, overwhelmed, in bondage, enslaved, and they just can't get out of it. That feeling of being stuck. The psalmist is so beautiful, and it's in Psalm 69. And the psalmist is crying out, "Save me, God, for the waters have reached my neck. I have sunk into the mire of the deep, where there is no foothold." Do you ever feel that there's just no way out? I can't get out of this. And this is the psalmist who is crying out, "I am weary with crying out. My throat is parched. My eyes have failed, looking for my God." Crying out, failing. "Where are you, my God? I just can't get out of this enslavement and this prison that I'm in." And whatever the enslavement, and it could come from many sources, but many people, I really have, and it's been much a part of my daily life, but people just sue, just, "I can't get out of this." And she's in a place where she just feels, I can't. There's no way that I can. I've tried everything. I keep trying, and I'm stuck. Blanche, thank God she's been able to survive like a despair. That what can I do? How can I get out of this? Family, friends, people see their loved ones enslaved, and everyone seems to be doing all they can, but the person herself or himself feels stuck. I was talking to this priest, and he, in the depths of his heart, what is really enslaving him are lies that he believes about himself, and his thought patterns are those which are enslaving him. He has these feelings of uselessness. He has these feelings that, and somewhere way back in his childhood, they were impressed on him. So he's handsome as could be. He's as intelligent and as giving, but his own idea of himself, his self-image is so stuck, and no matter what he does or how successful or what people tell him, he can't get out of this pattern of somehow feeling useless and unable. And he's tried over and over again, done different therapy, and I was just praying over him just yesterday. The pattern seems to be the same no matter what causes the, if I'm trying to stop smoking, it can come because I just can't, and I want to, my health is being damaged. How many people have eventually gotten lung cancer? I just can't. I can't break this habit. Some people addicted to pornography. Some people addicted to shopping. Some people addicted to eating. Some people sex addicted. Some people addicted to work, a workaholic. Some people just attached to money and enslaved. Whatever that is that enslaves me, God is providing for me a way out. There is nothing that I am so enslaved in that God cannot break me out of. There is a story of a man in Mark's gospel where he's roaming in the tombs. He breaks chains. He's so enslaved he has a spirit that's enslaving him, and he can't break out of it. And Jesus comes, and in Jesus sees him, and he sees him so enslaved. And then our Lord frees him from this addiction. And then he tells him, go home to your family and tell them how much God has done for you, what the Lord has done for you, and how much he has loved you, and the mercy he has had on you. That's in Mark's gospel, the fifth chapter, how he frees this poor enslaved man from the bondage of the demon that had possessed him. Some of our addictions, some of our feeling stuck, can come from that dark side and secret of witchcraft. I was recently a seminarian came to me, and he was very, very upset. He was before the Blessed Sacrament, and he was kneeling. He said, in prayer, I invited our Lord to come into my heart and to show me where he was. He said, I have invited you in, and I want to see where you are in my heart. And he said he felt himself go into a deep part of his heart. And as he was there, our Lord invited him to go into a secret place in his heart. And he said he was going to be in there. He went in, and there our Lord Jesus was lying on his bed in his home. And as he laid on the bed, our Lord was being run over by all kind of salamanders and lizards and all kind of ugly things. And our Lord was cleansing out. And then our Lord was indicating to him that there was something under his bed. And he went immediately in his memory to remember that he had gotten some kind of voodoo thing when he was a kid. And it was an Indian statue. And he had put it under his bed. And as we talked, he was telling me how his room had been the place where every time he entered, and even after he had come into the seminary, that his addiction to pornography and his temptations to sex had increased dramatically there. These dark sides of witchcraft, or whatever that was, that the increase of the influence of Satan in his life. And it was when I said, well, you got to burn that. Well, he wasn't at home, but his mother called that very day. And when he was talking, his mother said, I was cleaning your room, and I found this thing. She said, when I found it, I felt like breaking it. He said, Mom, take it out and burn it. His mother said, I won't ask any questions. I will do what you told me. Sometimes in our lives, we go into something that's the occult and very, very dark in a consultation with some kind of seance or witchcraft or fortune tellers or Ouija boards. And the evil one has tremendous impact. Could it be my stuck feeling is coming because I have been attached to something that I'm trying to get rid of, that there's such a force of being stuck with this thing? And so it can be from my own feeling psychologically and emotionally that I can't get out of this. And it also may be from something that God wants to release me from. St. Paul gives us some great advice in 2 Corinthians when he tells us, and I'd like to quote, "Three times I begged the Lord about this, that it might be, that it might leave me. But he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for power is made perfect in weakness.'" And so what I might be really dealing with in my weakness is to invite God, Jesus, into that place in my heart that I am stuck in, to ask God to come into me. I just can't, and beg and cry, "I'm stuck. I can't do anymore. I can't proceed with anything. I am too overwhelmed with this." This could come from, this weakness can come from a drug or alcohol. That powerlessness, that stuck feeling. "Lord, I'm totally powerless. I'm weak here." Into that, invite God. When I am weakest and stuck, this may be the very beginning of an entirely new life for me, as gradually I allow him to come into this area of my weakness, my sexual weakness, my perversions. I can't change. Perhaps in a deep place in your heart, I had one of my relatives who actually, she was very unable to break a habit of shoplifting, and many times didn't need what she was taking, and it's very dangerous to, you know, sometimes it might be one time, and then after that, I believe if you shoplift more than once and it's on your record, it becomes a felony. How important it is to ask God in, and to, if this is still something in you, do you have a tendency towards something that might even be a criminal behavior? Ask our Lord to invite him into this need that you have, these things, that whether they be unhealthy thought processes, and you know they're there, but you're stuck, and you have a feeling of bondage underneath and in your heart. That feeling is very, very powerful. And our Lord is constantly saying to us, you do not have to remain there. You have a choice. You can, I give you a choice in Deuteronomy. He says, you have a choice to for death, if you choose it, or life. And you actually can choose this. And even though in your being stuck, you feel there's no power in you, I'd like to just, for your own encouragement, conclude with that Paul, the great saint, three times, he had a weakness. He doesn't describe what it was, but he says, Satan was to beat me with this. So he evidently fell over and over again. He called it a thorn in his flesh that was given to him. And what happened? Three times I begged the Lord about this, that he might, that it might leave me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. For power is made perfect in weakness. I will rather boast most gladly of my weakness. If there's any of these things that plague me or you, when we hear this, that being stuck, you know, my addictions plague me. And I'm so miserable in this bondage of smoking, of pornography, of alcohol, whatever that being stuck is. And in the deepest part of your heart, Paul says, I boast of this weakness. And that the person who is in this bondage can't see this as that which is like a lever which opens you up to God. The God who made the universe, the God who made the sun and the moon and the stars, and who loves you right now in your being stuck, wants to come in. Just for some reason or other now, in my own heart, I take such encouragement from that seminarian who came to me and talked to me about the inner side of his heart, all covered over with these creepy things. In the deepest part of his heart, Jesus was there, indicating to him the source and what was caught, and that he remembered that it could have been something that there it was, that God wanted him to be broken free. So it might be something far beyond what you at this moment keeps you stuck. He knows it. He's in you. His grace is more powerful than you're being stuck. And as the psalmist said, I'm in these deep waters. I'm drowning. I can't save myself. I cry out. My throat is parched with crying. Save me, Lord. And as we let ourselves down into God's loving hands, he's there. To be stuck is to actually be in the vestibule of the heart of God. You are closest to him when you are apparently most powerless. That's when the power of God can take over.
What happens when in our minds and our hearts that we don't even realize we're stuck? We think this is who we are. This is my identity. I'm always going to be this way.
Yes.
It's almost like you have to die to a certain part of yourself, because that's a part God doesn't want us to be in that like that?
What keeps us stuck, in my own experience, when I was unable to advance and move, what keeps us and maintains us in that place? The marvelous gift that God gave me, I had a wonderful period in my life, and I look back on it, and it's the first time I've enjoyed enormous health. It's real, and even when I would get sick, I could actually arrange it. If I needed an operation, I could arrange it for a time when it wouldn't stop me from doing what I wanted to do. It was like nothing would stop me. And I was in my early 40s, and I didn't realize it because I don't know if you like the color of my skin. It's really Mideastern, and it's not Oriental. It's not a yellow like maybe a Chinese or a Vietnamese, but it's not Western. It's kind of sallow. And as a result, I didn't detect that I was getting hepatitis. And while I was in South America, I must have come across something that I developed hepatitis. And it wasn't until my eyes became yellow. I couldn't see it from my skin. And my urine, was black. And my symptoms were all, I had hepatitis. And I kept pushing. I didn't realize this is a treacherous disease. And for me, when I came back to the United States, and I went, and thank God we had all kinds of help for that. But for me, for months and months, to even move my finger, I had to think about it. To move my hand, I was completely drained. And I actually believed, and after months, I still couldn't recover. I was stationed, and I didn't want to stay at home any longer. I was at home for 3 months. And I didn't want to interfere with my mother and father's life. They wanted very much for me to stay there. But I'm a priest, and I wanted to stay in a rectory. So I remember being stationed in this rectory. I couldn't get up. I just couldn't get out of bed until about 9 o'clock. I'm a man up 4:30. No more. I just dragged out of bed. After sleeping and going to bed at 6 or 7 o'clock at night. And I remember overhearing the pastor say, because I had to take mass later, I was very limited in what I could do. Mm-hmm. And the pastor said to the other assistant, I overheard it, you know, Father, he's awful lazy. And if there's anything in my life I didn't want to be, was lazy. Mm-hmm. But I couldn't. I couldn't push myself. I couldn't move. I was stuck. And I actually began to believe I'm never gonna get better. This is the way my life is going to be from now on. That feeling is the greatest thing that I look back on. You know, I would never be able to understand, as that pastor who was looking at me and saying, you know, Father, to the other priest, he's awful lazy. How do we know what another one's going through? And so the powerlessness is the beginning, and the weakness is a great opportunity for the power of God. If there's anything in me that has power, it's Him.
Hmm. Any final thoughts, Monsignor?
Well, the hope that I would really love to offer to anyone who's listening, when you are in that position of bonding, Jesus has come to set the captives free. One of the great works of Jesus is to set those free from bondage. When you find yourself stuck, to turn to the Lord, who is so ready to set us free. He is there. I used to work for years in prison, and those of us who have bondages and are stuck, whatever the source of it might be, whatever, the Lord has come to set the captive free. You don't have to remain stuck. In Him and through Him and with Him, you can be free. Born free as the wind blows, as free as the grass grows, born free to follow your heart. Live free, and beauty surrounds you. You're as free as the morning star, and there's no need to hide. Live free, and life is worth living. You are free. That's the good news for anyone who is in bondage. He has come to set the captive free. Amen.